Of the book of Acts, chapter 26, and we stopped at verse 20 last time. Those listening, by other means, Pastor Dan, did you get the picture going okay?
I suppose we give it
okay.
Reports would be nice.
Anybody give a report? Can you see the picture? Not just hear the sound, but can you see the pictures in the video? Please let us know if you can. Call us at 856-261-9018 or give us an email, questions@bftbc.org. All right, Acts 26. Now we stopped at verse 20. Let's read 20, 21, and 22 as a backup there together. But showed first unto them at Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coasts of Judea and bent to the Gentiles that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. For this cause the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both the small and great, saying none other things than those which saw the prophets and Moses did say should come. All right, so Paul is defending himself. Who is he talking to at this time?
Agrippa.
King Agrippa. Absolutely. And who is Paul's lawyer?
Himself.
What is that called in Latin?
Pro se.
That's right. Let's see what we got here. Mm-hmm. Yes, Carl. Yes, go ahead, Carl Albert. And Vicky.
Yep, the video is coming through just fine.
Good, thanks for that report, Carl. I appreciate that. Yeah, Carl had called before. Yes, Anna.
Oh, I was waving.
Oh, Carl, let's wave to Carl and Vicky Albert. State of Maine, I forgot to wave. Thank you very much. Okay, my waiver has wivered. Something I don't know. I noticed.
Is that a word?
No, it's not a word, but we'll make it up. We're in verse 20, honey. Acts 20, 26, and verse 20. So when Paul was saved, who did he go to first to tell him the gospel in verse 20?
Jerusalem.
Even before Jerusalem.
Damascus.
Where did he go? Damascus. Oh, he went to Damascus first and then to Jerusalem. That's right, Steve. He went to Jerusalem.
I forget who he talked.
Damascus, Jerusalem, then the Gentiles.
And throughout the coast of Judea. All the coast of Judea, the whole area. And after the Jews, when did he go then? Where did he go next?
To the Gentiles.
To the Gentiles. And what did he say? What was his message?
Goyim.
What is it?
Goyim.
The Goyim. That's the Goyim, the Gentiles. What was his message as he went to
them? Repent.
And turn. All right.
And do the works of repentance.
Turn to God. Turn to God and do works meet for repentance. And what did we say repent was? What?
Change of mind.
What two Greek words are there?
Metanoia.
Meta is a change. Life from the news to the mind. Change of mind. And what areas of change should accompany people if they really want to come to the Lord?
Acknowledgement of your sin.
Change of mind concerning your sin. Does everyone know that they're sinners in this world?
Yeah.
No, they don't know it. They don't believe it, see? What's the second thing they got to change their mind about?
About Jesus.
The Savior. That he died for their sins. Does the whole world believe Christ died for their sins?
No.
They don't. They got to change their mind concerning. And what positively must they do? What positively must they do? Positively.
Start walking with the Lord.
Well, before that.
Believe in him,
receive him, and trust in him genuinely, continually as their Savior. So that's what repentance is. Turn to God. Repent and turn to God. Where are you going to turn to God? How are you going to turn to God in these days in which we live? How are you going to do that? How can anyone turn to God?
Read his word.
Get his word. That's right. Get into his word. The scriptures. It tells us who God is, what his plans are. So turn it to him. Yes, Tammy.
We need to submit to his authority. And,
yes.
And when we read his word, we're not just reading it to learn, but we're reading it to obey.
Read and heed. Got to do both. That's a read and heed.
Make him Lord.
What's that?
And seed.
However, said that. Once we read and heed, we seed the word to others. Seed. Yes.
Just like the song, Trust and Obey.
Yes. That's right. Trust first, then you obey. That's right.
Make him Lord.
What is it?
Make him Lord.
Make him Lord. Absolutely. And so repent and then turn to God. And then do works meet. What's meet mean?
Suitable.
Fitting.
Suitable and fitting. That's not steak or anything like that. It's hamburger, is it? But fitting for repentance. Now, what does that mean to do works fitting for repentance?
It is spelled differently.
That's right. Different. What does it mean to do works meet or fitting for repentance? What kind of works would those be? Yes. Right.
Well, I was just thinking about it, maybe I'm wrong, but you would do things differently than you did before. In other words, if you were, before you were saved, you did things this way, and now things should manifest in a different way, in a more godly way, God-principled way, after, as part of the repentance, as part of the turning away from it.
Now, Ephesians 2.10.
What does it say? For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. Yes, Lynn.
I was just going to say, we're not saved by our works, but it shows that we're saved by what we, the way we act and what we do to the rest of the world. That's how they know that we're saved, is by our works.
That's good. That's right. That's a, yes, Tammy.
And I think of works as obeying the Spirit's voice and following His will. Because everyone, what God calls everyone to is different. So one person's good works may not be mine, and vice versa.
Right. Now, works meet for repentance. Now, a lot of people say they're saved. They're born again, they've received Christ, maybe the Billy Graham meeting, whatever. But if their life does not make any change, if the works are not fitting for what they supposedly believe, what are true possibilities of that type of a person?
They haven't really received.
Maybe they never received, that's one. And what's the second possibility?
Carnal.
Maybe carnal Christians. Working after the flesh, not after the Spirit, saved, but walking. So the works that they do are not fitting works, fitting meat for repentance. Then verse 21, what do we see the Jews want to do with Paul because he taught this?
Kill him.
Now, were those things that in verse 20 really anything that are worthy to be killed?
No.
Oh my. But that's, the Jews, do they care? Why did they really want to kill Paul? What was their main reason, do you think?
They convicted them.
Convicted them, right? He told them about their sins. Was he a Jew himself?
Yes.
He's a Jewish race, but he came to Christ. But he tells, can't grasp exactly what happened. This chapter 26, chapter 22, I think back at chapter 9, when he was saved. And this, because of this, it says, for these causes, preaching, the repent, turn to God, and do me works lead for God. For these causes, caught me in the temple. What is that significance of that? What was Paul doing in the temple?
He was teaching.
Teaching and preaching the word of God to the Jews about Christ, about the salvation. They caught him. Now what does it mean, what about? What's that what about?
Conspiracy.
Tried, they planned, all these things. What about to kill me? So he told that to King Agrippa.
Some things don't change. They did the same thing to Jesus.
Same thing to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Same people, the Jews.
And it's a terrible situation. And Paul was now one of Christ's own and wanted to kill him as well. Then in verse 22, what did Paul say? Who did Paul say helped him?
God.
It's interesting. Having therefore obtained help of from God. Paul, regardless of being wanted to be killed and got the afterthought, he said, God help me. Wonderful thing. Once God does help you, what should you do?
Thank Him.
You ought to be thankful for what He's done to help and to continue to help. I can't help of God. And what is it? Did he quit? Did Paul quit in verse 22?
I continue.
Just because I want to kill him, he didn't stop. Mm-hmm. See, even when he was in prison, you remember, here at Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Philemon, he still kept preaching in prison. He told the people that he wrote to, these Christians at Philippi, Christians at Colossae, to keep doing the work of the Lord. He's a prisoner of the Lord, but he continued to this day. What did he continue in doing in verse 22?
Witnessing.
What does it mean, witnessing? What does that mean?
Telling the gospel.
Using the word of God plus you also your personal experience, like what happened to him on the road.
The word of God. What's it?
Testifying.
Mm-hmm. Now, did he testify just to the big wigs?
No,
just the baby little ones.
Small and great. Every
both of them, see? Small and great.
Todo el mundo.
That's right. All the whole world. That's right. And so it's a small and great. And what did he witness about? What did he say? What was part of his testimony in verse 22?
What the prophets and Moses did say should come.
That's right. Not anything else except what the prophets and Moses said that say that should come. Did the Old Testament have anything to do with the New?
Yes.
Yeah. Talked about the new.
Yes. Had everything.
Talked about the new. It's prophesied what was coming. talk about the Lord Jesus Christ and so on.
Jesus on the road.
Isaiah 53.
Jesus said on the road to Emmaus that they didn't know who he was, and he said, you know, he witnessed to who he was throughout Moses and the prophets and the law.
Three parts.
The law, the prophets, and the Psalms.
That's right. The writings. Where's the Psalm? That's the Psalm.
The Tanakh.
So the whole thing, the Tanakh, those three parts he witnessed. And so he just took the word of God, the Lord Jesus. Now, if we would have been those two on the road to Emmaus, had the Lord Jesus opened up to them all the things that were about him in the Old Testament, wouldn't that have been a great message, a great instruction? Because we read the Old Testament, Genesis to Malachi, but we don't catch maybe all the things, all kinds of things that are referring to the Lord Jesus Christ, who was to come, the Messiah. As you said, Isaiah 53, it's a beautiful picture, and other things. Psalm 22, all the different things. Psalm 23, these are various, various things. So he preached the prophets and books, did say should come. Did Paul believe in the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecy? He sure did. He said it would come, and he believed it. Let's read verse 23, 24, and 25 together. That Christ should suffer, that he should be the first that should rise from the dead, and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. And as he thus spake of himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself, much learning doth make thee mad. And he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. All right, verse 23. What are some of the things he told the people as he preached the gospel from the Old Testament?
That the anointed of God should suffer.
Anointed of God, Christ should suffer. Mm-hmm. Where is that?
Isaiah
53. What are some of the verses in that that tell about his suffering?
Sure
hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. We'd esteem him smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of his peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. That talks about the cross and the suffering, doesn't it? Suffer. And then what's the second thing, the Old Testament, that Paul was speaking about in verse 23? What's the second phase? Suffer. What else?
First arise from the dead.
What does that mean, arise from the dead?
Resurrection.
Resurrection. What kind of resurrection?
Bottom.
This so-called Easter's coming. We don't know whether that's the right day or whatever, but when this Easter comes, it's next Sunday. The preachers preach. They say, Christ arose. Do all the preachers, when they say that word, mean he rose bodily?
No.
No. They're liars. They're falsifiers. They just hide behind so that the poor people out there listening to them in the modernistic, unbelieving, apostate churches will think, well, everything's fine. He agrees and so on. It's a sad, sad day. And is it getting better or worse as far as
it's
going
to be?
Worse, much worse. Apostasy and the creeping and the drifting. It's terrible. But first arise from the dead. Yes.
And he rose on first fruits.
That's right. On the day of first fruits. That's right. The feast of the first fruits. He rose again. First fruits from the dead. And others arise. Those of us who are generous will rise as well, as he's the first fruits of the many who rose from the dead. What's the next thing that he showed in the Old Testament, in verse 23.
Paul
should show light unto the... Now, who are the people, who are the Gentiles?
The Jews.
Israel's the people, and Gentiles, those are men.
Those that walked in darkness have seen a great light.
They've seen a great, those that walked in darkness have seen a great light.
Isaiah 9,
that's good. Show light unto the people. What did the Lord Jesus say of himself?
In John? I am the light of the world.
He that believeth in me, follows me, shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Anna?
I was thinking of Luke 2, verses 29 to 32. Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel.
Very good.
Simeon.
And before the Lord went back to glory, he addressed his apostles, his disciples. What did he say about light to them?
Ye are the light of the world.
He's the light, but ye are the light that shine forth, having Christ the light in our hearts and lives, can shine forth the light ourselves. Ye are now the light. He transferred the lightness to those that are genuinely saved. All right, light to the Gentiles. Then verse 24, what does it mean Paul spake for himself?
He was his own lawyer.
His own lawyer, pro se, for himself. Now, what was Festus the king? No, excuse me, he was not a king. He was the what do you call?
The
the governor.
Governor Festus. What was Governor Festus' reaction to Paul's...
He shouted.
Why do you think Paul was deaf?
No.
Why do you think Paul... some people...
He got upset.
Paul was talking so loud himself. He was very emotional.
He was very emotional. Now, in a loud voice, does that always mean agreement? Does it always mean disagreement? Does it vary?
Violent disagreement.
Violent, many times. But when you read it, one emphasizes the point. Sometimes you're loud, you emphasize the point. So it depends on who it is. Pastor Nat.
Perhaps there was a lot of confusion in the room.
Mm-hmm.
People were talking and just debating whether or not what Paul was saying was correct or not. And so Festus had to speak above the volume of the room.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's with a loud voice. And what he said, you know, much learning that make me mad.
Mm-hmm.
Now that wasn't necessarily true statement,
mm-hmm.
but that's what he believed.
Did Festus have an amplifier?
No.
A microphone. No. Oh, okay. So he had to speak up.
Blowhorn.
Okay. So notice, he says, what did he charge Paul with being in verse 24?
He had a split personality.
In what way?
Well, it says, thou art beside thyself, so he...
Oh, I see. Okay, well, that's good. That's a good joke. Split personality beside thyself. What is beside thyself reference? What does that mean?
Mentally,
a little bit crushed or not, upset, insane. Besides, crushed or not, completely turned around, upset.
Okay.
It's good Spanish.
If you use Spanish, you have to translate it for the rest of us.
Turned completely upset. I think the crushed or not, it almost sounds like a tornado. See, just so cruel to messed up, just completely discombobulated. That's a good one. All right, beside
was
itself.
He messed up?
Oh, no, that was a lie, see.
Yeah.
But that's what Festus, Governor Festus thought it was true. Right?
Oh, he thought Paul.
Yeah. Now, what was the cause of this? Anna, go ahead.
Well, you were getting to it, and I was jumping.
Oh, okay. What was the cause of this insanity?
Too much studying.
Okay. Now, I'll tell you.
You know, you vouch for that.
Now, that's your, when the shoe fits, wear it, as you say.
Now, yeah, especially girls, you shouldn't let them work.
Much learning. See, what did Paul have much learning, and if so, what kind of learning did he have?
Brought up
at the feet of Gamaliel. All right, was he stepping on his feet or just close by? What that expression means, he was brought very close. He was a teacher. What do you know about Gamaliel? What did he know?
He was one of the rabbis in all of Jewish history who was not a rabbi, he was a rabban. And that is the highest of the high of rabbis.
A rabbin.
What is the highest of the rabbis?
Was he related to Robin Hood?
I don't know. No, I doubt it.
Okay, yeah, Steve, go ahead.
That's the highest rabbi.
The highest rabbi. Thank you. Yeah, Pastor Dan.
Probably the learning that Festus was concerned about was the learning he received from the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
In Arabia.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
How many years was he in Arabia studying?
Three
years, that's right.
Because the traditional Jewish indoctrination, Jewish teaching, was not necessarily against. There was probably a little bit of against,
mm-hmm.
but it was accepted. It was tolerated.
Mm-hmm.
But now he was going against what was tolerated,
right?
And teaching the gospel.
When somebody accuses you of being mad, is that a compliment or?
You're crazy.
You're crazy. Looney Tunes.
Looney Tunes.
That's right. So this is a terrible thing. Now, did we read 25?
Yes.
Okay, now, did Paul agree? Yes, I'm mad.
No, he said, I'm not mad.
He disagreed. He disputed the governor. See, he called him. What was his title? He addressed him as.
Noble.
So he was
Noble.
Kind to the man that called him crazy and mad and so on and so forth. Very kind, most noble Festus. But what did it say he was doing? Not being mad, not being have much learning.
Words of truth.
Words of truth. Speaking of truth.
Soberness means he wasn't drunk.
And sober. Wasn't drunk. And when, does everyone receive truth the same way?
No.
Why not?
Conviction,
all right.
Or lack thereof.
Should they receive truth, everyone?
Yeah.
Well, yes.
Facts and truth. A lot of people prefer to believe error, don't they? Believe error. Mm-hmm.
Some people believe there's no such thing as absolute truth.
Yes, that's
the question
true.
Is that absolute truth? That was from Dr. Boyce's book.
I said it, yes. When the Lord Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Truth. Truth. It's a very important thing. So the words, where do you find the words of truth?
In Scripture.
In the Scripture, the Bible. Is it important we have the right Bible?
Absolutely.
It's very important. Critical text, Gnostic text, very serious errors. How many changes between that New Testament text and the King James text, the text for Septuagint?
8,000.
8,000 errors. 8,000 different changes. How many are doctrinal? 8,000 differences between the text for the New Version, state there, and the King James Version, text for Septuagint. And how many doctrinal?
That's what I did.
5 days.
She just said.
I didn't hear.
I think it's 8,000 changes.
Well, Dr. Lorman wrote an entire book, a big fat book called 8,000. He went through every single one of the critical text readings compared to the text receptors. He counted 1, 2, 3, all the way up to 8,000. And he lists them in this book. 8,000 different. Some are little, some are big, depends. But of those, how many are doctrinal?
56.
356 are doctrines involved. So he counted 8,000. Now, those versions, those new versions, other than the King James, are based upon this.
It came from the Greek text, right?
Pardon me? Yeah, it came from the Greek text, the wrong Greek text, the Gnostic and critical Greek text. And these versions, are they based on the same Greek New Testament text as the King James?
No.
No, they're based on this false, like it changes 8,000 places, 356 doctrinal passages. Horrible, every single one. Sunday morning, I'm going to show you some of these texts and some of the changes in the book of Acts. As we go through, we'll see some horrible. And then I looked at the Greek text. I checked the Greek text, Dr. Scrivener, has it all the differences between the Greek text of the text for Septuagint and the other text. And then all these versions go just lockstep. Every one of these modern versions, I list about 4, 5, 6 different versions, they go right along with these Greek texts. Solidly. It's a sad thing when they believe a lie. But that's what they're doing. So anyway, how do we get off on that? Truth, words of truth. We've got to be made, words of truth, very important, and soberness. Now, what if people call you a terrible person because you're using the King James Bible? What should be your attitude?
What's that?
What if people call you a terrible person for using the King James Bible?
What if they call you a fanatic?
You read the Bible. Yes.
And
I said, praise the Lord. I'd rather be a fanatic of the Lord than a fanatic of the Phillies. You have to be a fanatic of the Lord.
Something
that's going to take you up there. Put your treasures up in heaven, not on this earth, right?
That's right.
Treasures should be up there, exactly. Not down here.
Exactly. Well, you see, a lot of people that are against many of us. Pastor Dan, why is that the sign in that blue thing in the screen?
This had a problem.
Okay, thank you. Many people are against. We better get that new backup machine. Maybe I'll buy a new. Many people are against those of us who stand for the King James Bible. They're just horrible. And then there are those who stand the wrong way of the King James Bible. Also, the Gluckman people and Gail Ripperger and others. So this, she spoke the words of truth. Now, did we read the next verse yet or not?
No.
Let's read 26, 27, and 28 together. For the king knoweth of these things, before whom also I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him, for this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Verse 26. Now, after Festus told Paul he was mad, he talked about the King Agrippa. So what did he say about the King Agrippa?
Says the king didn't know.
He knew these things.
Okay. Now the king knoweth of these things. See, in other words, he's trying to answer this governor Festus with the king.
Yeah.
Because the king knows. I don't know why you don't know Festus, but the king knoweth these things. Before whom also I speak freely. Mm-hmm. He was not hindered in any way.
Mm-hmm.
He spoke his mind. He spoke the truth freely. Now, I am persuaded. What does persuaded mean?
Convinced.
What is it? Convinced. That's right. Convinced. Should we be persuaded regarding truth?
Sure.
That shouldn't waver. Now, sometimes it's difficult to find truth, isn't it? If you read the papers, is truth completely in the whole, all the papers?
No.
If you read the internet, is all the truth in the internet?
Not really.
Anywhere, see?
Well, I wouldn't know about the internet.
But you've got to.
I'll come help you, Steve.
I want to know about the internet.
Because
it's still in the box.
Still in the box. That's a good place for it, as far as the internet, as far as lies. A lot of lies.
So don't open it now. It's all lies.
No, much of it. Some of it's truth.
Now I'm not going to open it. It's all lies.
No, Steve, I didn't say all of
it.
Just open it for the Bible.
The Bible for today, that's right. These are the ones too, so you can hear the whole thing. See, all these things you're talking right now on the internet. That's the bill.
By the time Steve gets the box opened and the computer out of the box, there won't be an internet anymore.
That's it. Maybe control. That's right, control. That's right. All right, so he knew. He went, can't speak freely. Persuaded. Remember, there's a hymn, isn't there? Almost persuaded.
Almost persuaded.
We must be persuaded that the Lord Jesus is our Savior. We must be confident. That's a very area of confidence, persuasion, that what none of these things are hidden from whom? Who's the hymn referred to? In verse 26. From King Agrippa. Why is it not hidden from King Agrippa?
Because it wasn't done in a corner.
What does that mean, it wasn't done in a corner?
Done in secret.
Not done in secret? It's done openly?
It's done openly.
Right in the open, and the king was well aware. And it's too bad that Festus wasn't well aware as well. So when Paul used this for the king's knowledge, I'm sure he was answering Festus in a very kind way, but very, very good way. Then, did you read 27?
Yeah.
Now, the question that Paul asked Agrippa was what?
Do you believe the prophets?
Why? What prophets were those?
Old Testament prophets,
Isaiah, Jeremiah, all these prophets in the Old Testament, do you believe us? And then what did Paul answer his own question?
I know you believe.
And see now, why are you supposed to ask the question and then answer it?
He wanted to hear him say it.
You wanted to hear him say it? Yeah, but since he didn't want to say it maybe so quickly, Paul wanted to answer for him. I know thou believest. Did we read 28 then?
Yes, we did.
Did we read?
Yeah, we did.
Okay, all right. What did Agrippa say when Paul told him that?
Almost.
Casi.
Almost persuades me to be a Christian. What do you think he meant by that?
You got me thinking real serious about it.
Thinking serious?
He almost convinced him.
Almost.
Only counts in horseshoes.
But he hasn't become one?
Haven't become one. That's right.
That's a dangerous word.
That's right. Let's go to 29-32 and see if we can finish the chapter poorly. And Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day were both almost and altogether blessed as I am, except these bonds. And when he had thus spoken, the king rose up, and the governor, and Bernice, and they that sat with them. And when they were gone aside, they talked between themselves, saying, this man doth nothing worthy of death or of bonds. Then said Agrippa unto Festus, that man might have been set at liberty if he had not appealed unto Caesar. All right, verse 29. What did Paul's wish in verse 29? What was Paul's wish here?
That they would all be, everybody like I was.
It's not almost, but all, not only thou, King Agrippa, but all that hear me this day. Everyone in the particular.
Even the Gentiles.
Even the Gentiles, whoever was there listening to this court case. We're not almost, but all together. What's that mean?
Completely.
Such as I am. Who is Paul? What does that mean? Such as I am.
A Christian.
Born again, saved. A real believer. Real saved Christian. Except what?
For his chains.
The chains. He didn't want the chains on him. He wanted to be just as I am. He added that except for the bonds, except for these bonds and chains. And then, in verse 30, after he spoke, what did the king do?
He rose up.
He was seated. He rose up. Who else was with him?
The governor.
Which governor was that? Which governor?
Festus.
All right. And Bernice. Who was Bernice?
His wife.
And they had the Sabbath. So there's a number of people got up. And then in verse 31, when they were gone aside, Anna, do you have something?
Bernice was Agrippa's wife. Right?
I think it was Agrippa's wife.
Yeah. Agrippa, said she was queen.
I guess I was just getting myself confused.
Okay.
She follows Festus rather than
Agrippa. Yeah, Agrippa's wife. And then when they were gone aside, what did they do with all these people?
They talked among themselves.
They talked between themselves. What did they say? What was their conclusion in their talk?
There was nothing worthy of death at all. Or of bonds even.
Now, these were Romans, were they not?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. They were Roman governors and the kings.
Oh, they were Roman governors.
Roman governors and kings. See, they were the authority in Paul's day. They were mm-hmm. in Rome. And yet, they could honestly see, were they compromised or easily affected by what the Jews believed?
No.
No, see, they could see. Some people
put them down.
Yeah. Isn't it true that some people can see facts, come out with truth, and other people see facts, come out with falsehood? They don't see the truth.
Yeah.
Right.
Praise the Lord, these people could see that Paul had done nothing worthy of death. They couldn't kill him. What did the Jews want to do with him?
Kill him.
None worthy of death.
That was like Pilate.
Or of bonds. What does that mean?
Chains.
Even chains, not even imprisonment. Not only death, but not even imprisonment. I mean, and then verse 32, what did Agrippa, King Agrippa, say to Festus?
This man might have been at liberty, but he appealed to Caesar.
That's right, he had not appealed to Caesar, to set liberty.
Right.
Way back in the early chapters here, why did Paul appeal to Caesar? What did they want to do to Paul?
They wanted to kill him.
Wanted to kill him, but first they wanted to send him back to Jerusalem, remember, be tried in Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. If he'd gone back to Jerusalem, what would have happened to Paul?
He would have been killed.
On the way there.
It could be on the way, even on the way going. See, so he appealed to Caesar, and so he didn't want to go back. Because he appealed to Caesar, they kept him right there, safe. Mm-hmm. So back in Jerusalem. Yes, Dave.
The verdict was here.
Yes.
And it's exactly, he was innocent. Knew he was innocent.
Right.
And it's exactly like Pilate.
Right.
Because Pilate said
I find no fault in this man.
Fault in this man.
Right.
That he was innocent.
Right.
Both places.
Right.
But they couldn't make the decision
because
about
the chief priest stirred up the people, what will I do with this man? Crucify him. All right, we're going to stop right here. We'll pick up Lord willing next chapter, but do you have any other comments or questions before we close? Them? Yes, Tammy.
This reminds me of, I'm not sure where it's at, if they persecuted me, they shall persecute you as well.
Mm-hmm.
The servant is not greater than his master.
Yes. That's good.
Thanks, Lord.
That's what John had. Yes, other kind of comments or questions before we close? All right, Brother Dave, we'll just stand for the Lord prayer for you, please, sir.
Dear Father, we thank thee that we have the true word of God. We have the whole word of God. We have the truth. And we know the truth because Jesus is the truth. And we thank thee so much for this, and that we are the ones who will go to heaven. And there's few, as far as percentage is concerned, that are really going to go to heaven. And we thank thee that we have heard the truth from the time we were born and have believed it and follow you. And I pray that you would help us to understand all about your word, and especially about how to communicate it to other people that have a different tradition for us, other religions and other languages, and help us to be able to get people to think about the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is the one and only Savior. And I pray that you would guide us tonight and help us to be safe as we go. And I pray that you would bless Pastor and his family. And I pray that you would guide them and help them as they teach your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.